With an ex-KGB officer in the Kremlin and the Soviet anthem playing again on radios each night, one could wonder whether Russia has come to terms with its past. The enthusiasm for digging up history faded quickly as Russians faced economic hardships in the post-Soviet era. There's been little outside pressure on Russia to face up to the legacy of communist rule. In the first report of a four-part series, NPR's Michelle Kellerman explains what some Russians are doing to make sure the horrors of the 20th century are not forgotten.
The still fiery 91-year-old Polina Mysnikova has a message to young people. The tiny woman sits downstairs at the Andrei Sakharov Museum in Moscow, urging half a dozen 14- and 15-year-old school kids to read more.
Вы начнете читать воспоминания каких-нибудь прежних времен.
I want to tell you, you should read people's memoirs, even if it's just literature. You have to read about the past, otherwise what's happening now won't be clear to you.
She's worried by the bored looks on the faces of these students and tries desperately to reach across the generational divide. In a rapid-fire speech, Mysnikova rattles off her personal history. Just a teenager, she was a victim of Stalin's arbitrary purges. She was absurdly accused of plotting to kill the Soviet dictator, and then she was sent to Kolyma, to one of the worst labor camps of the Gulag. Mysnikova tells the children about her harrowing month-long journey to the far northeastern corner of Siberia. She describes how she was saved by Yevgenia Ginsburg, a leading author of Gulag literature who's unknown to these schoolchildren.
Выжили мы благодаря тому, что Женя имела очень хорошую память. Она могла.
We survived only because of Yevgenia's memory. On the road, and we spent a whole month going to Vladivostok, Yevgenia recited all of Pushkin's Yevgeny Onegin and many other poems. She knew them all by heart. One woman loved Dostoevsky, and Yevgenia remembered enough to recite Dostoevsky as well. Maybe not word for word, but she had an incredible memory. There were so many interesting people in the camps. It was almost like a university for me, only the most difficult university you can imagine.
For the students, this visit to the Sakharov Museum and the meeting with the survivor of Stalinist repression should have been eye-opening. But the museum was dry and most of the information went way over their heads. They were tired by the time they heard Mysnikova's story. She wants to know if they had ever heard stories about labor camps before. One student said no. The others answered in a chorus, yes, once the teacher reminded them. Alexander Yakovlev, known as the father of glasnost, is alarmed that young people, his grandson's friends included, find it hard to believe that tens of millions of people were imprisoned, executed, or starved to death in the Soviet period. He's on a mission to come up with a formal death toll and publish the documentation.
There is nothing more convincing than documents. We can express an opinion, agree with it or not, but a document is a document, objective reality. There is nothing to argue about.
A former top aide to the last Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, Yakovlev now heads a special commission studying Soviet-era crimes. He still finds things that shock him. He says he has documentary proof that secret police used to hold competitions among various departments to see how many people they could send to prison camps or arrest. A deputy to one of Stalin's secret police chiefs came up with a game for his cronies during a train trip to the Far East.
They took with them the case files for 20,000 people. While they were on the train, they had been drinking, even dancing with some women. Then they started to compete, who could, in a given period of time, write the letter R on the most files. R meaning расстрелять, or to execute. The winner would get two glasses of vodka. We can really see the moral decline of people in this document. It wasn't just a story or a memoir, but it was all recorded in a document.
Yakovlev furrows his bushy eyebrows as he recounts some of the horrors. For him, this work seems to be a way to personally repent. Yakovlev rose through the ranks of the Communist Party up to the Politburo, but he began publicly confronting the past during the Gorbachev period of glasnost, or openness.
Покаяться надо, иначе так и будет тянуться вот эта безнаказанность внутренняя.
It's necessary to repent, otherwise this sense of impunity will continue. Sometimes people say to me, why should I apologize? I didn't inform on anyone. But you took part in all this. Did you vote? Yes, I voted. Did you raise objections? No. But I didn't go to rallies, they say. I didn't applaud. But millions of people did applaud. No one is saying that people should go to some place and kneel down and prostrate themselves. No. But you have to tell people, and deep in your own soul, you have to repent.
What Yankovlev's commission does is rehabilitate those unfairly sent to prison. That means a person has his or her record cleared and receives some benefits, including a housing subsidy. There's little else in terms of compensation for prisoners of the Gulag. That's the Russian acronym for the Chief Administration of Corrective Labor Camps. Camps were set up all across Russia, and prisoners used to build canals, railroads, hydroelectric stations, mines, and other industries still in operation today. Yakovlev's commission has formally rehabilitated 4 million people and has another 400,000 applications. The numbers are simply staggering. Russia, he says, was always at war throughout its history and with all of its neighbors.
All the time there was war, 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 and we grew accustomed to death. Sometimes it's paradoxical. Our Russian nation suddenly gets upset about the death of one person at the hands of the authorities, holds public rallies. This is the right thing to do, because we must cherish the life of every person. But when hundreds of millions die, people just shrug and say, well, you know, it's war. What can you do? It's famine.
In the late 1980s, when Glasnost was at its height, documentary films and books seemed to come out each day about the tragic 20th century. There are still a few dedicated historians doing painstaking work, finding and marking mass graves, researching personal cases, and pushing reluctant bureaucrats to make more documents public. The population's appetite to dig up history, though, has faded. And there are a few places young people can visit to really get a sense of what life was like in the Soviet system. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Moscow.